Last year, I talked with Cleveland trumpeter Teresa May. She's a music teacher, plays in the eclectic and popular Morning of Black Star Collective, and is working to make a change in the classical world. Thanks for joining me. This is Shuffle, your backstage pass to Northeast Ohio's music scene. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. We're going to listen back to my conversation with Teresa this week, and then we'll catch up with her a year later. She's been busy during the pandemic, helping to create a nonprofit that aims to break down the barriers and foster classical music careers for women brass players of color. Teresa May started learning trumpet from her father growing up in Shaker Heights. She knew she wanted to dedicate her life to performance.
When I got into grad school, my goal was to win an orchestral position. And anyone who's doing that now or has knows how kind of a tall task that is. There's always a million and five people showing up for one audition for one chair in orchestra.
So what route did you go instead?
After college, I moved back to Cleveland. I knew I wanted to teach. So then moving back here was just me figuring it out. Step by step, day by day.
So this has been like a long path of discovery.
Yep.
It's no secret that the classical music world has a diversity problem.
Mm-hmm.
Have you experienced any of those barriers to getting on some of the stages or thinking you wouldn't make it as a black woman in this industry?
Yeah. So I think the lack of representation and me just not feeling welcomed and 100% comfortable in my surroundings all the time was part of the reason why I didn't want to keep pursuing taking a bunch of auditions. I mean, I think that's common for any black person at any institution. We're normally the one of 20 in the classroom, so it can feel ostracizing that I ask myself, like, do I want to continue in this and feel like that? And the answer for me was, nope.
Have you talked with other black musicians about that?
Yes, actually, 2-3 months by now, I was on a Zoom platform that was broadcasted live on Facebook. Maybe 8 or 9 other black female brass musicians in the classical world. We have all felt at times like our voices didn't matter and that people didn't see us.
What have you experienced in Cleveland? You've performed in a lot of groups in a lot of different settings. Mm. What's the inclusiveness like in Cleveland from your experience?
So I still think it feels like a novelty to have a woman trumpet player in ensembles, and I think that's very telling of how far we haven't come. Mm. When people see me with the trumpet, it's still like a shocking or a wow factor. But there are literally tons of women that play trumpet. Like, I remember there was a time in undergrad. My trumpet teacher had told me to sit principal, so first chair. And then the older white man came in, and they were like, are you sure you're supposed to be sitting here? And I was like, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That is such a telling story.
Mm-hmm. Us bracing ourselves for moments like that is what helps us keep going. You kind of build calluses just for situations like that.
So you play in the Cleveland Ensemble, Morning of Black Star, a force in Cleveland's music scene, getting a lot of national and international attention. When I featured Morning of Black Star on this program, a lot of the focus has been on the lyrics, because obviously a lot of the songs are focused on racial injustice and social issues and equality. But when you listen to the actual music, it's those horns in some of those songs that almost evoke more emotions than anything.
That we use all the time is organic, and it feels kind of cheesy to keep saying that, but I think that's the closest to the truth. It's very freeing, and it's interesting. It always feels a little bit weird when we are described as like a political band or whatever band, because all the lyrics are just about our life, and then the singers are singing from a very honest point of view. We are just creating what we feel in that space, so it's not like we're political, we just talk about our lives and our existence.
So that was my conversation with Theresa May from last October. I recently caught up with her because she's been really busy taking action on some of the issues she's faced during her music career and giving you a way to help. Let's listen.
Theresa, it's so good to catch up with you. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Always fun to chat with you. When we did our interview last, it was a few months after a panel I was on, and it was about 12 Black women brass musicians who we were all just discussing our experience there.
Yeah.
And from that, about 7 of us had just kept meeting and gathering and talking about ways that we could help our community and things that we would need in order to kind of stay in our field and feel, you know, okay more often. And so for the past year, since June of 2020, we've been meeting and organizing and finally established an organization called the Chromatic Brass Collective.
Wow, Chromatic Brass Collective. So how did you come up with that name?
I remember we did like a poll on Facebook, and everyone who had ideas about the name, they just put it in the, it was a big group chat we had going on Facebook at the time. And it's cool because, you know, chromatic and chromaticism is all the notes. Like if you're looking at a keyboard, it's all the black and white keys. Mm. So every spectrum of color, this organization is for a woman of color, non-binary folk of color who play brass instruments. So it kind of reflects that.
I think it's so great that you all came together and not only found support, but then did something about it. So mm-hmm. So tell me about how this group works. What have you all been doing?
At this point, we have established a board. We are a nonprofit organization. We have been planning and plotting ways to establish a mentorship program. We've already done our first virtual debut concert. We have a YouTube channel. You can find it there. We've been actively looking for and finding folk to be members of the organization, you know, reaching out to other organizations to let them know that we exist.
I know that you've launched a fundraiser. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So we've done many, many things already in our first kind of unofficial year before we were fully established as a nonprofit organization. So we launched an organization to help us with the cost of running an organization for our first formal year of existence. Any organizational costs, we're going to use the funds for our mentorship program to commission composers of color, to commission women of color, binary folk of color, because, you know, we are out here, people are out here, and their music needs to be performed and recognized. So we're hoping to raise $25,000 to help fund our first year of existence.
And this is nationwide, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're still canvassing and looking for anyone who would like to be a part of our organization and feels like they need a home here with the Chromatic Brass.
So how long will this fundraiser go on?
The fundraiser is on now until October 4th.
Okay. So we will put a link to that on the website for this story at wksu.org/shuffle, where people can contribute. And, you know, I think that anybody who cares about music should care about the issue of diversity, especially in classical and other types of musical forms, because this is the future. We have to have music that represents the communities that we live and work in. So this is really an important thing.
Yeah, we're really excited. I think more than anything, especially about the mentorship program and the commissioning aspect, I think there was a point where we're all in agreement that if we would have had an organization like this that existed back when, back when I was an undergrad in grad school, that would have helped me tremendously. There are many times in academia and in the professional world as well where you can just feel so alone and isolated. But knowing that there are many of us out here, we're just kind of sprinkled throughout the nation. And so we're not usually able to gather together and see ourselves. That makes a huge difference to have that community.
So for this fundraiser in particular, we are striving for community visibility and progress.
Okay. And once you have that funding, how much of an impact will you be able to have with it?
Oh, yes. Much more than we have had for this first year. I'm kind of amazed how much we have done in the first year with really no funding at all. And so with that, I mentioned the virtual debut concert. And we also participated in the International Horn Symposium, and we were on a plethora of panels and discussions from that. But with this funding, we can reach even further and reach even more people and have our voices heard even more.
It's a positive thing that's come out of the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think if it were not for the pandemic, I doubt if we would have found each other so quickly and, you know, been able to establish this organization so quickly. You know, so I am super thankful for that.
How is it to perform with all these ladies?
Yeah, so we have only been able to perform virtually. And even so, it's still really, really great. It's amazing to, like, when we receive that final video and audio edit and see everything together, it's like, it gives me chills. Still watching our virtual debut concert gives me chills watching it. It's about 25 minutes of a presentation, and it's just amazing to see all of our faces on screen together. So I'm so looking forward to actually being in one room with all the individuals that are a part of Chromatic Brass Collective and actually playing music together in the same space.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I'm looking at the website right now and I'm seeing a screenshot of all of you performing, and I'm just smiling because it's so cool to see so many different faces all on one screen playing music. It's really kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. And it's something that we all needed. Every time we watch our drafts of things, we're like, man, this is so great.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
Thanks for anyone who's able to contribute financially and otherwise. Sharing is also very helpful. We understand that it takes, a village to do any type of real work in the community and in the world. So we're just very appreciative of that and of you all.
Yeah. And Teresa, give us some details about how we can connect with your group.
Yes, we have a website. You can reach us at chromaticbrass.org. And our email is also info@chromaticbrass.org.
It's so great to also have somebody right here in Cleveland representing this effort. I think that speaks volumes for where we're heading as a music scene.
Yes, totally agree.
What else are you working on? Are you working on any music? Morning of Black Star, anything?
Yeah, we've got some things happening. We have some collaborations coming out. I don't know if I can speak too much about it, but be looking out for Morning of Black Star things in November. We're hoping to also go on a bit of a tour in October, November, trying to still perform and tour as much as possible with everything still going on.
Yeah, that's so great, because I know it's one thing I've missed a lot is hearing some of the music that really speaks to this time that we're in right now, and your group being out and performing. I've missed that. So I look forward to an announcement coming on that.
Thank you.
Teresa, it's always great chatting with you. Thanks so much, and continue to keep us posted on your efforts.
Yes, thanks, Amanda. It's always great speaking with you as well. Thank you.
You can find links and more information at wksu.org/shuffle. And we're also on Facebook. Just do a search for WKSU Shuffle. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you like it, consider rating and writing us a review. Join us next Thursday for a new episode of Shuffle. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. Thanks for listening.